For benefit of the teaching now, at the beginning of this service, a need was presented because of a hurricane that recently, a month or two ago, through Haiti and just devastated the place. And we have people here that are in contact with people there, and the need was great. So it was presented to the body, and we're going to supply all that we can. We're going to supply clothes and shoes, and we already took up an offering. Now, the reason I'm saying that, God, there is a godly prosperity. Listen, poverty is not of God. There is a godly prosperity with godly purposes. Amen? But the enemy is determined to twist even God's word to make his prosperity become prosperity for your flesh rather than for his kingdom. Now, what we saw today was God and as the people here, as we're looking around the people here, I don't see the governor here today. Let's see. No, I don't see the mayor. Not yet. What I'm saying is, you know, not many mighty, not many noble. I don't see really, I don't see how many billionaires are in the audience. Okay, millionaires. Well, we got one by faith back here. Got several by faith. Okay. So we saw the giving from what abundance we have. And that's what God accepts. It's accepted according to what you have, not according to what you have not. But I'm telling you, God's calling his people to have more. Bigger barns for the kingdom. Now, go ahead and open up to Deuteronomy chapter 8. It's going to be a big pinch today. Deuteronomy 8. I'm going to give you a seminar that should take a month and less than an hour. So a lot of years of distilled revelation coming. But he is smarter than I am dumb and able to get it across in a short amount of time. Okay. I don't have anything to mark this with. Just a moment. All right. Let me start it off this way. When Jesus was teaching in Matthew 6, and he was teaching them not to be worried about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink. And he made some astounding things, you know, like he says, consider the birds of the air. They don't sow and they don't reap. They don't even gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Then he says, think about the lilies of the field. They don't spin, they don't toil, in other words, to produce like clothing for themselves. Yet your Father arrays them in a finer garment, a finer colorings than even Solomon himself had. He said, so if God does this for the birds of the air and the grass of the field, won't he take care of you, O you of little faith? I mean, that's his garden and his pets, the lilies and the birds. But you're his child. See? But when he says that, they don't spin and they don't toil. You know, some people read that and they go, oh, okay, God just called me to live by faith and quit my job and I'll just sit out here, me and Jesus running through the tulies. And, well, that's not exactly what he meant either. The New Testament says, if a man will not work, neither let him eat. A man that does not provide for his own family is denied the faith and worse than an infidel. Okay. But when Jesus said that about they don't spin, and they don't, especially that one where he says they don't sow. Now see, when God brought Israel out of Egypt, and then they came up to the promised land, but they refused to obey God. He said that generation would never go into the promised land. And for 40 years, we know what happened. They wandered in the wilderness. And all, was it 20 years and up, all perished, if I remember correctly. But let's talk about the ones under 20, the ones that grew up. 40 years. I think I've got two of my grandchildren here today, Cole and Lily. And what if they grew up in an environment where for 40 years, God is teaching them about how he provides? Let's see some of the lessons that they would learn. Let's see what they would learn about God if that's the only example they ever had. Well, first off, when they'd wake up every morning, What would be available around the camp? The manna. You know, it wouldn't take too long, though, before it would dawn on them. What seed does a person sow in order to reap a crop of manna? Is that a good question or what? See, manna is by God's grace. Manna is by God's grace. Your provision is because you're His child. You got that? Now, it is true that it was barely enough. You women. It says their sandals did not wear out. How many of you women want the same sandals or the same shoes for 40 years? Not a hand, I'm telling you, not a hand is going up nowhere, not a hand. Say it with me. The wilderness is the land of barely enough. But your needs are met. Your needs are met. He was teaching them many lessons through the manna. And they grew up understanding that, okay, His provision is not by our sowing. He provides for me. I mean, even if they'd have seen agriculture going on somewhere, you know, and you know the way they function, that you follow the cloud by day and the fire by night, right? They say, hey, here's a piece of fertile ground. Let's sow some seed here. We saw that other nation over there. They grow crops, you know. Let's grow us some crops. So here's a piece of fertile ground. So you sow the field on Tuesday, and the cloud moves on Wednesday. And you got to go with the cloud. You got to go with the cloud. What was He teaching them? You follow Me, I'll meet your needs. Doesn't that sound like Matthew 6:30? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. They learned some other things from the manna. And I taught on the manna if you want to just go to my website, there's more lessons on the manna than you want to hear. But there's so much He taught them. Like another thing about them, you know, God could have designed that manna any way He wanted to. He designed it on purpose to teach them. So one thing they learned, our provision is not by our sowing. His provision is by His grace. What's another thing? Well, the manna, it didn't stay all day. It was only there during the cool of the morning. See, that was God's message against snooze alarms. Can't lay around until noon in bed and go get the manna. No, you got to get up, get out of bed. My dad was a little more gruff than God. I decided as a teenage boy I was going to sleep in one day. My next conscious moment was my body flying through the air as the bed was turned over on top of me. It was a little twin bed, you know. My dad's a big old boy. He didn't say a word. He just come in, turned the bed over on the up down. Just turned it over with me in it. I got the message. Snooze alarms are not of God. Well, but it was the Lord teaching them. You got to get up. You got to be energetic. Yes, sir. Now, one verse. We are going to get to Deuteronomy 8. But before we go there, you got to see this verse. This is one of them. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 15. Paul is quoting directly from the Old Testament. He's quoting Exodus 16:18 here, talking about the manna. And the context here, Paul has taken up an offering for Christians who were suffering at Jerusalem. There was a famine going on, plus they were suffering persecution. So he's writing to all the Gentile churches to take up an offering, not for himself, but for them, much like we did this morning for Haiti. Okay? Now, 2 Corinthians, you got to get this part. Chapter 8, verse 15. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. All right, now, let's meditate. My grandson Cole is right over there, 13 years old. He's a track star. That guy can run like the wind. I'm telling you, guy can, man, if he was going to gather manna, how do you know Papa's not quite as fast as Papa used to be? That young man could gather more manna in a heartbeat than I can gather in a few hours. I mean, you know. But see, God designed that manna to teach lessons to his people. And what was one of the lessons? Don't try and keep it overnight. How many of you knows they did? They tried to keep it, and what'd they find out? It got worms and it stank. So Cole is a really sharp guy, you know, and if he was alive during that time, he'd be going after about the third day. Maybe he gathered manna, bringing in wheelbarrows full, if they had wheelbarrows, donkey loads of manna. But, you know, after about the third day, he goes, you know, all this extra gathering don't benefit me. All I really get is what I can eat. Now, most people at that point would say, that's it. I ain't gathering no extra manna. You can go get your own manna. But you hear that verse? He that gathered much, he didn't have too much. And he that gathered a little, he didn't have lack. So I thought about that. Who was the Lord looking for on those? Who was he teaching? He was looking for people that had a heart, even after they figured out after day two or three. Yeah, I'm able to gather a lot. I see they're having difficulty. You know, if I gather a lot, they could have extra. I have more than I need. They can just have from what I brought in. I'm going to keep gathering a lot, even though it's not for me. You think he wasn't looking for hearts like that? Now, he trained them like that in the wilderness, and there's so much more, but this, you see the flow here. This is all they knew for 40 years. This is all they ever knew. God provides by his grace. He gave us me the ability to gather more than I need. And the more that I need is not for me. It's for those who don't have enough. These are good lessons, right? And I can't be lazy about it. I got to get up out of bed. It's in the cool of the morning. He taught them some really good lessons. But now we're to Deuteronomy 8. I'm going to start in verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Now here it is. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. Jesus actually quoted this very passage in the wilderness when he was facing the devil. Verse 4. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord thy God chastens thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandment of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. Let me read this. The Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. Can you imagine what this sounded like to a group of people that has been in the wilderness for 40 years? Hey, say it with me. The wilderness was never God's ultimate plan. It was a place of teaching. It was the land of barely enough. But that was not God's plan. God had a land of more than enough. A land of plenty. A good land. A land of brooks of water. Of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. Oh, my Lord. But now notice. And I got to say this at this point. Now, the day that they crossed over, it's important you remember this. The day that they crossed over Jordan and they ate of the corn of the land. From that day forward, the manna ceased. You understand? Class is over. Teaching is over. Now we'll see if you can retain what you learned in this land of plenty. Amen. And he's warning them here. Now, he tells them here in verse 8. In other words, have you learned the lesson that I can provide for you? Yes, yes, 40 years. You provided for us every day. Faithful, every day, we learned. Have you learned it's not by your sowing that I provide for you? Yes, sir, we've learned. The manna came every day and nobody can sow a seed for manna. Yes, Lord. Have you learned that abundance is not all just for you? Yes, Lord, I found that out. I tried keeping that manna. It didn't work. The abundance, you provide my need every day, but the abundance is for your kingdom and whoever needs it. I've learned. Okay, well, we'll find out, because now I want to bring you into a land of plenty. Now notice, this land, you do so. This land, you work. This land, you have occupations. He begins lining out a land of wheat. A land of wheat farming. How many of you know? I have done some farming, not a whole lot, but my relatives farmed. It is hard work. You can snooze alarm my foot. You get up in the morning at first light and you don't even go into the house until it's dark. Then you eat. Amen? That's hard work. But that's a land of plenty. A land of wheat, barley farming, vines, that means grapes, vineyards, farming, fig trees, now we're talking orchards, right? Pomegranates, a land of olive oil. So again, we're talking husbandry and, you know, and honey, beekeeping. Glory to God. I'm glad he gave that to other people. Bees, I don't know, something about my flesh. They like me. Now notice. And remember what this sounded like to them. That for 40 years they lived in the land of barely enough. If I took testimonies right now, many of you would say, I have lived in the land for 40 years of barely enough. Well, he's about to bring you into a land of plenty. But now notice, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. That's God. God does not like it when little babies go to bed hungry. You hear me? He wants you to have enough bread. He wants everybody to have enough bread. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. Lack is not of God. We've been commanded here. You've been reminding us, speak against the strongholds of lack. And I love it that very word is used in this verse. The land I'm bringing you into, you're going to have plenty to eat and there'll be no lack. You love it? A land whose stones are iron. Now he's talking about more occupation. Mining. Mining operations. And out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. But now here comes the warning. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware. Beware, he's warning them, that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Now he's putting them in remembrance of the lessons they have learned over 40 years. Who is your provider? You are, Lord. Is it by your sowing? No, Lord. You provided manna every day. Do you need abundance in order to make it? Well, no, abundance is for others because you feed me. Give me day by day my daily bread. I learned, Lord. He says, don't forget. Don't forget. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, when thou hast eaten and art full. Now, everything we're reading right here is the Lord's will, which I'm going to exercise in about 35 minutes. I'm going to eat till I'm full. I knew it was scriptural. I knew it was there. Isn't that what it says? When thou hast eaten and art full. Glory. I need to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. I knew it was scripture. And has built shacks. What? And has built goodly houses. The Lord's not against having a goodly house. Who is it bringing them into this land? It's Him bringing them into this land. And dwelt therein. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply. God's all into this. And thy silver and gold is multiplied. How many wants a worship service right now? Say, when thy silver and thy gold are today the greenbacks in thy wallet. The money in thy bank account is multiplied. And all that thou hast is multiplied. God's not against any of those things. We're going to see it here in a minute in the New Testament. But when all that happens, here's the warning. Beware that then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. That whole purpose was to teach them the lessons they would need as they went into the land of plenty. I taught you all that to do you good at your latter end so you would know how to function in this land of abundance. But be careful that thou be sure you don't say in your heart, ah, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. It is He that gives thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto the fathers, as it is this day. Now come on over to Luke chapter 6. Luke 12. Let's see this manifested. Jesus eloquently laid this out. I hope I'm saying this in the right place. Yes, thank you, Lord. Start in verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, now this whole parable, he gives you the subject right here. Take heed and beware of what? That's one of the Ten Commandments, covetousness, greed, a plain old modern word, greed. Take heed and beware of greed. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the thing which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, now he's going to illustrate. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Now let's stop. Isn't that not what he said in Deuteronomy 8? Is not this man a son of Abraham? This is exactly what the Lord said would happen. That I'm bringing you into a land where you're going to prosper. And if you're a wheat farmer, I don't know what the man planted, but if it's wheat or barley or vines or olives, oil, whatever it is, God's plan was that the ground would bring forth plentifully. That part is all God. That's the promise of Deuteronomy 8. But he warned them there saying, don't forget me. Don't, and more than that, don't forget the lessons that I spent 40 years teaching you in the wilderness. How much of that abundance did you need? But this guy, he forgot. He's given an example of somebody who forgot. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Verse 17. And he thought within himself, saying, now I'm going to emphasize all of the personal pronouns here to show you how much this man's forgot God. What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all of my fruits and my goods. This guy has no steward mentality at all. He has totally forgotten the lessons of the manna. This guy has such abundance. I mean, it already says he's rich. Did you see that? The ground of a certain rich man. The guy's already rich. He's already got barns. But now his ground is produced. He's going, his only thought is, how can I keep all of this abundance for moi? For me. No steward mentality. He has forgot the Lord his God. He has forgotten the lessons of the manna. And verse 19, I almost hate to read this one in America, because this is like the American dream. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, you talk to most Americans, and I mean most Christian Americans, and a big part of their life is about retirement and looking forward to that day, and we're going to set aside enough, and then once I retire, we're going to have enough to travel the world. And I remember the Lord was not against goodly houses. He was not against eating to your full. He was not against any of that. But what he said is, don't forget the reason for abundance. There is a limit somewhere, or at least there should be. How many barns do you need? This guy already had barns. He was already rich. I sound like an old time preacher. Rich. Like Dave, I'm going to preach about Noah. I want you to know. This man was rich. Anyway. I love our pastor. You got to be careful with this one. This is the American dream. Oh, I'm going to, you know, we're going to retire and we're going to have, and I don't think God's against really any of that. I know a lot of people that are retired. Yes, sir. I'll go ahead and mention that now. I recently, within the last 2 weeks, had opportunity to meet a man who, did you know God, the Holy Ghost, will teach the same kingdom truths to other people than Gary? I mean, I sat down and it's like I'm talking to a mirror of myself. This guy, shocked face. I love it. What? Oh, that was my hope. But this guy, it was like talking to a mirror of myself. I mean, we're talking and it's like, when did you read my lessons? You know? But he's been praying in the Holy Ghost for decades too. And he's actually, I'm not going to mention the name, but he's in the employ of a major Christian organization, a good one. And his job is to talk with people about their barns. If you just, you know, talk with people about their barns, you know, you know what he said to me? He says, you know, in the course of it, I mentioned I'm 69, I'm almost 70. See, by the way, I can't find any retirement plan for preachers. Trust me, I have looked. Sue has helped me. We've searched Old Testament, New Testament. At least for preachers, you just preach till you go be with Jesus. That's it. There's no retirement plan, okay? But he says, people about my age, roughly, maybe they've been retired for 5 years now. Maybe they're retired at 65 or something. But he says, one of the things he'll do, because there's needs. There's needs at every ministry. And there's needs for, just like for Haiti today. And I mean, we could go, there's needs everywhere. And he'll present these to these people that have already been retired maybe 5 years. You know, they're like me. You know, I'm 69. I'm going to join the 70s club with Dave and Tim next year. And I'm looking forward to it, to be honest with you. But I'll just tell you right now, I'm able bodied. I can get a job. And for you employers out there, you like me better than them teenagers you got working there. I'm hard working. I'm honest to a fault. And get this, I know how to follow instructions. Even if I do think you're doing it wrong, I'll do it the way you say. You'll fire them kids before you let me go. Because I understand if I don't make you more money than you're paying me, there's no point in keeping me. I understand that. Employment is a privilege, not a right. Amen. I keep on. I'm going to get the white hanky here soon. I know I'm going to get the white hanky. But he says, I'll present these needs, and they'll look at each other, and maybe they've been retired 5 years, but they're in good health, and they're going, they're drawing their Social Security, and they've got enough. They may not be in abundance, but they've got enough. And he says that they'll look at each other and they say, "Man, I didn't know that those needs were that bad. Matilda, you and I could get a job. Did you know you can work with your Social Security? You got to pay taxes on it, but you're still going to wind up with more than you had if you don't work." And they're going, we could get a job doing something. We could put $300-$400 a week in. It's too quiet when I said that. Well, because their needs are already met. And their heart is motivated the right way. They're going, "Well, our needs are met. Just you and me, we could still put in $300-$400 a week. And to them, that's small." And I thought, when did you read my lessons? See, that's the truth. And that's what God was. Is that not the lesson of the manna? He that gathered much. Well, they're going, "We can go gather. We don't mind that we're 70. We're good. We're able-bodied. We can go. I can do something." Hey, one time in a really hard time in our life, and I was a lot younger, all I had was a car and some old paint and some brushes and some scrapers and a ladder. And I put them all in the trunk of my car, and I went knocking door to door to find some work to do. Put some food on our table. You can do something. You give me a lawnmower, I have an occupation now. Give me a pair of hedge clippers, I got an occupation now. Paintbrush, glory to God. I was talking with this guy. He said, "Oh yeah, they do it all the time." And you know what usually happens? They get healthier because they have a purpose, and there's a joy that comes in. And we'll give them reports of how we're using the money and things, and it's a great joy to them. And this guy is no crook. This guy is for real, and I loved it. I said, all these lessons that I had on the inside of me just came flooding back. And I said, "Man, that was the purpose of the abundance. He that gathered much had nothing over, but he that gathered little had no lack." That's the purpose. And God says, "Don't forget that when I take you into the land of plenty." But most Americans have forgotten that. All right, let's get back to this guy. And he said, verse 18, starting in verse 16, I'll just read without commenting too much. "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." Good. "And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Now, let me stop for just a moment. That kind of thinking is exactly what God taught against with the lessons of the manna. For 40 stinking years, he wanted to make sure that they got it. "I will provide for you. I will meet your need every day. There is no need to worry about what you'll drink, what you'll wear. But if you gather much, I have purposes for that. Don't be building bigger barns for you." Verse 20. "But God said unto him, Thou fool." See, we get Jesus. Did Jesus really warn us about using that word? Yes, he did. Don't say to your brother, "Thou fool." So when God uses it, see, the world would look at that rich guy and all of his success and his bigger barns and his prosperity and probably his yacht and probably his vacations and probably his airplane. I don't know. Just take it whatever limit you want. And the world would go, "Yay, yay, 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 yay. This guy figured it out." And God would say, "Thou fool. Thou fool. You're a fool. You're an idiot. What? This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? Now watch this. This is the whole lesson. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I'm just going to tell you right now, we could go lesson after. Think about Abraham. God made Abraham very rich. Not just rich. It doesn't say rich. Very rich. In cattle, in silver, and in gold. God is not against the wealth. But the wealth never got Abraham. Even when it came to dividing the land. You remember him and his nephew Lot? And they had so much cattle, animals, they had to separate. And so what does Abraham do? I mean, Abraham's the elder. He could have taken the best part of the land. He says, no, you choose. I'll take whatever's left. He still had that heart. Still had that heart. Trust in God. Here, they won that great battle, you know, and brought back the spoils. And that king says, here, I'm going to give all these spoils to you. He said, I will not take from you so much as a shoestring unless you say that you made Abraham rich. God is not against wealth. Solomon didn't ask for riches. He asked for wisdom. And it so pleased God. He says, well, I'm going to give you wisdom and I'm going to give you the wealth. But I'll tell you this, the wealth nearly ruined him. It got so bad, God said to him, he said, if it wasn't for your daddy David, I'd take the throne away from you, boy. But thank God for David. Pastor David. No, it's King David. So is he. So what's the key? Is God against wealth? Is he against you being rich? But he's against you being rich for yourself. At the website, I have a series called Stewarding the Pound, which I don't have time. We're almost done here today. But if you want to do if you haven't heard that one, or if you haven't heard it in a while, I recommend it to you. Here's the essence of it. God knows you have needs. God knows you need a certain amount of provision. Even in Matthew 6, he says, God knows what you have need of before you ask him. He's not, I like this. God's not stupid. He knows you need food. In America, he knows you need a car. He knows you, well, unless you live in New York, but he knows you. He knows you. He, in other words, he knows your needs and he will provide them. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. But the lesson of the pound and the provision, does there ever come a time when you go, okay, this is enough? You know? I got a house, I got it paid for, but now I need another house. Then after that, I'm going to need a beach house. Then I need a Europe house. Is there ever an end to the houses you need? Well, I got a nice car, but I need 6 more cars. Why do you need 6 more cars? Well, because there are 7 days in a week. I don't want to drive a different car every day. What I'm saying is, there's somewhere there should be a line. Say, Lord, this is what we need to live on. We're going to live right here. And above that is the pound. And I'm going to steward that for you. I'm going to steward that for you. That is yours. I mean, it's all his in a way. But you understand what I'm... In your own mind, there is somewhere this is enough. Because if you don't ever have that mentality, you'll never come to the end of barns. For yourself. I think God's all about building bigger barns, especially in these days. But he's needing bigger barns for the media, for the family prayer center right now, to distribute by every form of media available the wisdom that they've gleaned during 40 years of ministry around this world. There are, and I'm going to prophesy it again, I hear it again, there are people, he loves you, he's been involved in helping you get it. But there are people in the sound of my voice that are sitting on $10,000 barns that really belong to the Lord. And you know they belong to the Lord. And he's saying, deal with the flesh and do it. And even as I say this, I'm going to say the disclaimer again. Sue and I, we don't draw any salary from here. When I'm talking about money coming into Dave Roberson Ministries, it does not affect us at all. We don't get a salary from here. God takes care of us other ways. Okay? I just want you to know there's nothing for us in this. This is our church like it's your church. And we give to this church like you're giving to this church. But God's look, I'm telling you, if you get the revelation of this today, I think God is calling some people that He is going to help build bigger barns. But these barns, and some, I'm one of them over here, that these barns are not for you. These barns are for the King. These barns are for these last days. These barns are for revival. So say this with me. Father, I remember the lessons of the manna. You are my provider. Whether I sow, whether I don't sow, whether I spin, whether I don't spin, you provide for me. You provide all my needs. But Lord, if you'll help me, if you'll give me wisdom, I'm asking for your wisdom to build some bigger barns. Lord, those barns are for you. Those barns are for your kingdom. Lord, you have found a steward you can trust. And I'm one of them. I am your steward, Lord. I will steward the pound for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, be listening. You might be surprised what he might say. I still remember what that the dean, one of the deans at Rhema years ago, I heard him say this. He says he was counselor, you know, to these students that would come in. And, you know, they have tuition to pay. And very often they'd come in, they go, I don't have the tuition. Well, what's wrong, son? I've prayed for the money, but all I keep getting are job offers. Hopefully we've grown a little beyond there. Amen? Amen? All right. Don't limit him in any way. Don't limit him. It can come anyway. All right. Father, I thank you for your word. I believe I delivered your mind today, Lord. Father, we do lift up these people in Haiti. Father, not just from here, everywhere on this globe where you have stewards that have barns, provision, everything that's needed. Father, we ask, move by your Spirit upon them to release those barns to Haiti. To also release them, Lord, for Dave Roberson Ministries so that this media can go out to all the world just the way you have said it. Now say it with me. I hear it. Say, I speak against the strongholds of lack. And I declare an abundance. Abundance. Be in the name of Jesus. I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, that I through his poverty, not my sowing, through his poverty, might be rich. I shall remember the Lord my God. It is he that gives me power to get wealth. The Lord desires above all things that I prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto me. The Lord has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Jesus came that I might have life, and that I might have it more abundantly. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord my God teaches me to profit and leads me in the way that I should go. And as long as I seek the Lord, I will never lack any good thing. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, he shall also freely give me all things. Now I could go on and on. This is from that scripture. This is from that scripture page. It's in the PDF format out beside the lesson that we did last Sunday. Okay? It's called Scriptures for Financial Increase. It's already made into confessions for you. Okay? Get them in your mouth. Boy, I got no amen. Alan, I see what you mean. No, I didn't even get any sympathy amens. I think I got one. I heard one little weak amen. I'm going to try it again. Get them in your mouth.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Say, I have what I say.
I have what I say.
And I say,
I am God's steward.
I have lots of extra barns
to steward for my rich man.
And my rich man is Jesus.
Hallelujah.